Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The protest wasn't officially endorsed by Equal Love, but because I'm the convener of Equal Love, it was quickly associated with Equal Love. And I didn't realise it would cause so much media attention. So we just went down there. We just saw it as like it was imperative that we got down there. And so we went in, I confronted him and I approached him and asked him why he's such a homophobe.
In 2004, a groundbreaking decision by the Howard government placed a discriminatory clause in the Marriage Act, defining marriage specifically between a man and a woman. Hard to dig out of the soil of the religiously conservative politicians and fuel for the Australian Christian lobby, Fred Nile, and numerous religious bigots who have played antagonists for the battle for recognition and rights to same-sex attracted and gender-diverse individuals. Ali Hogg, a young socialist and photographer, took to the streets and has become the convener of the highly successful and controversial group Equal Love, here on Rainbow Crusaders on Joy 94.9. From his first election in 1996, John Howard was in no way a friend of the gay rights movement. Early in his prime ministership, Howard had stated his refusal to support the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, had expressed he would be disappointed should any of his children come out as same-sex attracted, and stated that for him, homosexual liaisons do not have the same status as you give to marriage. For marriage, he meant heterosexual ones. But he was a man of deeds as well as words. In 2003, the government was found to be in violation of human rights by the UN for denying a man a de facto visa, even though he had a relationship with his partner for 38 years. Earlier, the government lowered the amount of visas for same-sex partners since July of 1996, making it extremely difficult for gay men and women. He also opposed gay adoption, linking it to his feelings on gay marriage. The amendment to the Marriage Act 1961, therefore, was seen by many as a direct attack on LGBTIQ people from a government led by a homophobic leader. Ali Hogg, the second queer officer in the history of the VAC, joined a rally that would become an 11-year battle as of this year, 2015.
Well, at that time, I was an activist in the student union. I was the queer officer in the student union at the VCA. And it was quite interesting because at the time I knew that I didn't ever want to get married, but I could also see that it was a homophobic discriminatory act by the government, and I saw that a similar thing had happened in America where George Bush at the time changed the law to try to stop LGBTI people from marrying, and then Howard then moved to do the same thing. And there were some people that were trying to, before they changed the law, there were people that were trying to take it to the high courts that they couldn't get married. And so then the government quickly changed the laws to make sure that there was no more of this, that it was set in stone that queer people couldn't get married. And so because I saw it as a direct attack, and when I got contacted, all the different student unions around the country got contacted to help organise a National Day of Action on the day that they changed the Marriage Act. We all went out in force and had protests on the parliaments in each state. And so, whilst I wasn't for myself, well, whilst I didn't have an interest myself in getting married, I saw a point in coming out and fighting.
Ali Hogg was born to a very open family when it came to sexuality. She talked with us about her background and her formative years as one of Australia's most influential activists.
From a very young age, I was attracted to women and girls. And my family have always been very supportive of the queer community. When I was young, my mum would sit us down to watch the Mardi Gras and answer all of our questions, and she always promised that one day we'd go, even though we never went. But I also saw that, like, I didn't see any point in coming out. I knew it was something that people did, but I didn't see a point in coming out to my parents, because straight people obviously don't have to come out to their parents about their sexuality. So, but I did get outed to my family in 1994. And my friends basically just said, "Can we tell your mum? Can we tell your mum?" I'm like, "Do whatever you want, but I don't see a point in telling her." And so my friends basically outed me to my mum, and she's like, when they said, "Barb, Ali's a lesbian," she was like, "Oh, well, that's nice." And so it wasn't as dramatic as a lot of people's coming out stories, but I did start to get involved in queer activism at a very young age. I was an artist, so I entered artwork into the Lesbian Artworks exhibition, and I got to learn about the different types of politics within the queer community. And then when I went to university, there was a campaign for there to be a queer officer at my university, and I got involved in that campaign. People tried to say that we didn't need one, but then when we put posters up about everyone's coming out stories, they all had homophobic tags put over them. A lot of them got ripped down, and then so pretty quickly we won that campaign. And then I ended up becoming the second ever queer officer at VCA, and then it just all went on from there.
As Fol mentioned, a trained photographer, Ali has moved from art on queer rights to wedding photography.
Yeah, it did a lot when I was younger. I did a lot of works around queer rights and body image issues when I was young, women's rights and so on. But once I started getting more involved in activism, and the photography more just moved on to my I just do it for pay now, but I do often take photos of heterosexual weddings, which is interesting. I have done a few queer civil unions, but it's quite paradoxical that I find myself taking photos of straight weddings where I get to hear that line that a marriage is an institution between a man and a woman to the exclusion of all others over and over again.
On the day of the changes to the marriage bill, the Victorian Gay Rights Lobby was one of the many organisations that protested the changes. This was after several attempts to push for recognition for same-sex marriage through high court cases, and mirrored particularly the move by George Bush in the United States. From these protests, Equal Love began.
Equal Love came out of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. And so there were a lot of other organisations that helped build the protests and contributed to them, and went along and showed their support. But we, as Equal Love got more and more political, and we didn't really suit being in a lobby group, because we, as governments changed, we had to obviously take up the issue with all the different politicians, and it didn't really work well with a lobby group, being associated with a lobby group who has to try to negotiate with politicians and things like that. So we're more of a protest group, so we agreed to split with them. It was all friendly, but we both agreed that we didn't really match. So then we were able to be a bit more free in criticising politicians more publicly without it affecting any lobbying and so on. So we organised protests, and we started off organising protests on the anniversary of when they changed the Marriage Act every August. And in around 2009, we decided to ramp it up a bit. And so we have about 3 or 4 protests every year now. What is up, what is why, what is you, what is all.
The first few years of Equal Love and the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby were in effect the same organisation, at least branches trying to achieve the same goal. Marriage equality was the issue starting to come into the mainstream after the impact of the final overturning of sodomy laws in Tasmania in 1997. As often is the case with gay rights, the perception is linear, but the reality is always murkier. On one hand, LGBTIQ people in Australia were being recognised in media, and although gay marriage was still not a popular concept, the perception of gay people themselves was becoming less vitriolic. But the government was not. Both the major parties had a binding vote against the institution, and public perception was low. Towards the end of the Howard years and the beginning of the Rudd years, Australia was striving to be progressive and not reductive of America, which was still in moments of terror-heightening rhetoric post 9/11. So upon Kevin Rudd's election, it was thought gay marriage would be the next step. But sadly, Rudd was not at the time willing to rock the boat. He had won being popular, charismatic and beloved of young and older voters. He did not want to alienate the mainstream with what at the time was a radical ideal. Gillard's then controversial rise to becoming the leader of the Labor Party and the first female Prime Minister was one that the LGBTIQ community thought would be their saving grace when it came to marriage, an atheist unmarried woman who earlier in her political career had called for gay rights. But politics speak louder than promises, and Gillard's personal disbelief in marriage was definitely not the hopeful future promised for those seeking to tie the knot.
There's interaction between us, like we have often asked them to speak at our demonstrations and things like that, but there was some protests where we had people that turned up to our rallies with giant paper mache's of Julia Gillard and things like that, and it didn't really, like, while they were trying to negotiate with the Prime Minister, it just didn't match, so it would make it harder for them to try to move things in a negotiating basis, where we have more of a position where we need to, like, put pressure from the streets and individual lobbying. Like, it's fine that people do it, but we want to try to take, we want other people to be involved in the process of change. I think that if you look at civil rights movements throughout history, it took thousands of people to come out on the streets to put pressure on the governments. There were obviously lobbyists at the same time, but they, I think that it works well that there are groups that will do that individually, and then there are people that will call out for other people to come out on the streets and play a part in change themselves.
You're listening to Rainbow Crusaders on Joy 94.9. More coming up on Ali Hogg and Equal Love shortly. After several leadership switches in the opposing Liberal Party, rose a man who was now the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. Tony Abbott was in many ways perceived as a facsimile of John Howard, being his mentor. A Catholic conservative whose views on LGBTIQ people, refugees, women and many minority groups have been met with a mixture of disbelief, upset, outrage and at all times satire. But his views reinforced opposition to marriage equality and furthermore to equal rights for the same sex and gender diverse communities. So the opportunity in 2012 to protest against him while he was dining on Lygon Street was too good a chance to pass up for Ali.
Well, I was having dinner at my house with some friends and I get this text message from somebody who saw Tony Abbott in the cafe. And at the time, we didn't realise it was Greg Sheridan that he was having dinner with. For people that don't know, Greg Sheridan's an editor for The Australian, a very conservative editor for The Australian. And we So I got this text message and I'm like, whoa, we need to go and protest this guy. He'd recently come out and said that he was basically afraid of gays and refugees. And so it was, and he'd also commented quite often that he opposed marriage equality, and he'd said a lot of things that were quite discriminatory against both refugees and the LGBTI community. So I thought, I can't let this opportunity go by. So basically got two carloads of people who were at my house to go down there. I texted as many people as I could. The protest wasn't officially endorsed by Equal Love, but because I'm the convener of Equal Love, it was quickly associated with Equal Love. And I didn't realise it would cause so much media attention. So we just went down there. We just saw it as, like, it was imperative that we got down there. And so we went in, I confronted him, and I approached him and asked him why he's such a homophobe or something. And then we quickly got kicked out. As we were getting kicked out by the owners of the cafe, we started chanting gay, straight, black or white, marriage is a civil right. And we had some Equal Love posters that we put up against the window and kept chanting. And little did we know that somebody filmed it on YouTube. I was getting phone calls from all news channels from across Australia. The next day I got interviewed on public or some of those controversial radio talk shows, and it ended up being one of the most controversial things that I've ever done in my time of being a political activist, and I didn't expect it to be so controversial. It was also really controversial in the queer community. People thought that people's dinners shouldn't be interrupted. They, whilst they're politicians and say some horrible things, that there's a time and a place for these things. But as at the time when people said that you shouldn't interrupt people's dinners, I think people like Tony Abbott interrupt not just our dinners but our lives with their positions. They especially affect young people's lives. Some of the things that he said about LGBTI people really affect young people and how they feel about themselves, and it also reinforces homophobic and discrimination amongst young LGBTI people in the schoolyards right through to people's workplaces and their day-to-day lives. And I think that when people say such bigoted things, it's really important that we take them up on it.
Equal Love has always been closely aligned with the Socialist Alliance and the Socialist Alternative, although many members of Equal Love are not affiliated with either of these groups. The tactics that Equal Love have used have been subject to criticism from many outside and also within the LGBTIQ community, with many believing that their tactics are alienating. But those who do support Equal Love in any form look to history that constant street action is crucial in many revolutions throughout humanity's existence to see results.
There's no amount of sucking up in Equal Love. Some people don't like the way that we can be a bit confrontational. We're certainly not the most radical group by any means. I think that if it was more acceptable to be more radical, I think we could be. I think that we can learn a lot from things like the Stonewall riots, for instance, but we're certainly not there now. We have won a lot of rights. And I think that the queer community is a lot broader than just a small group of radicals, I think. So we need to kind of find a bit of a balance. So I think that we can, like, take the politicians up on it. We can say, call them out for their bigotry. We can call them names, I think. whilst it might annoy some people that we might be seeing to be a bit negative towards politicians, I think a lot of them deserve it. And I think that it also gives younger people confidence. Like, at our rallies, over the last probably 6 years, the rallies, the demographic of them have been very, like, young people from early high school years to university age. There are also obviously other people of other ages, but I think because we have such a high demographic of young people, it really shows that the issue isn't just about marriage, it's about the discrimination people faced as well, and the fact that the government discriminating legitimises some of the self-doubt that people feel about themselves, but also legitimises some of the bullying and stuff that they experience. So I think that showing that it's okay to stand up to bullies and bigots can give confidence to people in their day-to-day lives. So the rallies, whilst it's putting pressure on the government to support marriage equality, it plays like a double role because it gives people confidence to stand up at the same time as putting pressure on the government. When I'll be there, I know I sound confused, but all I want.
Rallying in Australia seems to have increased during the past 2 years since the election of the coalition with Tony Abbott as Prime Minister, and not just for same-sex marriage, and not just from the left. Rallies for gay rights have intermixed with refugee rights, Aboriginal land rights, opposition to racism and xenophobia, and most recently the highly controversial Reclaim Australia rallies against the perceived Islamic radicalism and the influence of incoming migrants to Australia, with the opposing counter-rallies concerned with Reclaim Australia's right-wing ideologies.
I remember when Tony Abbott first got into power, and the same thing happened when we saw Labor politicians first get into power. A lot of people's reaction when you hold the first rally, when you have a new Prime Minister, people say, you've got to give them a go, just wait, don't rally yet. I think it's ridiculous that you're having a rally so early, but I think that if you don't keep up that pressure, you don't see change. I think that having more and more rallies on all sorts of issues is the way that we will see change. And I think the issue of marriage equality is one that other campaigns can learn from. Whilst we've been rallying for what's coming up to 11 years, we might not have changed the law yet, but we've seen public opinion change massively. We've seen not just ordinary people change their position, but even a lot of people that started out being right-wing bigots. We saw the majority of the Labor Party go from having a binding vote opposing marriage equality to then having individuals come out and then change their position to then the Labor Party changing their formal position to say they support marriage equality when every single one of them voted in 2004 to oppose it. We also see right-wing shock jocks now supporting marriage equality. It's becoming an issue that if it wasn't constantly in the public eye, if it wasn't constantly being debated, I don't think we would have come this far. And if we kind of, every year it feels like we're getting a little bit closer. But if we win this campaign, it can really show that if people come out and take a stand on the streets, you can actually win. And so we've seen this in country after country. Australia's lagging behind a little bit. But I think that if you look at Ireland, they had a massive campaign. They had protests on the streets in every town. They had parents of LGBTI people coming out and taking a stand and organising people in their towns to come out and fight for a yes vote for their referendum. And I think that we can really learn from some of these campaigns where people take a stand and it shows that you can actually win. And it really means a lot to people to play a part in that. So I think having people behind the back doors doing negotiations and things like that, they play their role, but it means so much for people to play a role in taking a stand in a campaign that can win.
For Ali, the best thing has been the never-ending inspiration from the youth, a complete flip of the right-wing media's perception of the apathetic age of entitlement.
I actually get mostly inspired by the young people that come out. I think that having all of these high school students coming out so impassioned, and it's truly inspiring. A lot of them tell me that I'm inspiring, but I find them the most inspiring. Like, they're the ones that face the worst discrimination out of all of us. All of the recent studies show that homophobic bullying and bullying towards young trans people is like at its worst. So whilst more people are out than ever before, the bullying and discrimination has gotten a lot worse for young people, even from when I was a teenager. And I think that seeing them coming out and taking a stand and seeing them looking so proud and so angry, I think is really important. So I find that really inspiring when we're at the rallies. We often can't keep up with some of the young people that we get to hold our banners at the front of the rallies. We try to keep the rallies at a medium pace for all of the older people at the back so we don't split up, but it is so hard because they're so enthusiastic. They pretty much want to run to the steps of Parliament or run to the steps of the old Treasury building because they're so excited. And I think that is, they're the next generation and they're going to be the next level of fighters that will be fighting the next step. So I think that it's really great to see that.
The fight isn't over yet for Ali, so this support that has been ongoing and well appreciated for her is just going to be a continued battle, and she hopes that there isn't a 12th year for Equal Love.
There's been times when we have thought we were going to win and we feel like we've come so close and we've been almost certain and we've got our hopes up, and then something will happen and we don't get it, like we don't win. So I think that it was kind of similar around when we saw Kevin Rudd say that he will bring it in within his first 100 days of Parliament. Well, he didn't get elected. A lot of people thought he'd get elected by promising that, but he didn't. Tony Abbott uses excuses of terrorism and ways to bring fear in people to get elected. So that failed. So I think anything could happen between now and when they put the bill. We don't even know if Tony Abbott will have a free vote. So I don't want to get my hopes up. I think that it's worth being positive about, but at the same time, it's hard to say. But I know that if once we win, I'll be invited to a lot of weddings. And, yeah, I think that there's... I also hope that a lot of people that... are fighting around other issues to do with LGBTI rights take inspiration from Equal Love and do what we've been doing the hard work to so we can see even like not just marriage equality but equal rights for everybody.
You've been listening to Radio Rainbow Crusaders on Joy 94.9. Special thanks to Ali Hogg and Equal Love. Equal Love has the annual rally on the anniversary of the 2004 decision, holding a mass illegal wedding on August 15. Information can be found on equallove.info.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.